see all of you here. Trust that you've had a good day in the Lord. Good to have visitors here with us tonight. It was good to have visitors in the youth zone with us. We will be having time move forward, right? This Sunday. Spring forward. Don't forget that. We spring forward. And if you don't want me to come to Sunday school, just leave your clocks alone. You'll be here anyway. I did hear on the news, or read in the news today, that Florida is voting next week to stay at this daylight savings time. So maybe next year we won't have to worry about all this. We'll just be like we are, on time or late anyway. So we'll just leave that in the Lord's hands. I believe, I think we're going to do this. Spring break time, we're not going to have any Bible clubs on that Wednesday. So, Discovery Club kids, can y'all make sure Sister Jill knows that? The week of, what is that? 17th, that's the 21st, right? Wednesday the 21st, we will not have Bible clubs. Okay? Does that make sense? The week of spring break, no Bible clubs on that Wednesday. We will have church, 7 o'clock, but no Bible clubs. Okay? We'll have church normal time at 7 o'clock. That means the bus will run a little bit later on Wednesday night, kids. If you want to come, you still get on the bus and come. But we will not have Bible clubs on spring break there. Let some of the teachers get over this here pollen change that we're having. So please, let's start announcing that, Brother Jim, so we can keep that in front of everybody. All right, we're going to finish up our studies tonight as we've been looking at the apostles. We did a study through the apostles, the 12 apostles that the Lord called. We went name by name, person by person, and then we looked at the Apostle Paul, who was an apostle called a little bit later there on the Damascus Road. And then we brought this thought up. What is our job as New Testament believers today? And of course, we looked at the Bible, and the Bible said to us in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, that after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. And the Lord gave us four different places, which encompass the entire world as we go, beginning right outside our doors on a daily basis. This is what we're supposed to do. And we looked at some qualifications, because we are not apostles today. We are New Testament Christians. Christians are called first that at Antioch. And it was a label that was given to them in a way that would, of course, be a scolding, a scoffing mark. But it stuck, because it come to mean little Christ, or followers of Christ, in that way. And so we said the qualifications for a good witness. Now, anybody can witness. A lost person, praise God. If a lost person is speaking about Jesus, let them speak. Don't stop them. Don't say, well, you need to, they do need to get saved first. But don't rebuke somebody for mentioning the name of Jesus. Now, a good witness is going to be born again, because then you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have some intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're going to be witness, and then being a good witness means the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. Therefore, we have the power of God that we are able to share our testimony with the Lord, with the world, and with the lost. And therefore, being spirit controlled. We looked at that last week. Those are some qualifications. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. We couldn't do it. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we could not do it. But it was through God's grace and the faith given to us by Him, and the increase of faith, faith to come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, we become born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God, and we allow Him to control us and to guide us and to get us in a place where we can do our very best of shining the light of the gospel to this world. Now, what would disqualify somebody? Somebody has this question. So if we have qualifications for a messenger of God today. I say, and it's more, it doesn't encompass everything, born again and allowing the Spirit of God to control you. Those would be generic qualifications for anybody. You don't have to be called to preach. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a missionary. Those are God-given instructions to all of us that we'd be a witness. Okay? So, well, what would disqualify somebody? Well, perhaps their nationality. Well, nope. That doesn't cut it. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. That'd be a good escape goat, wouldn't it? Well, I'm just from a nationality that is not asked to witness. Ephesians chapter 2. For God so loved the world that encompasses all nationalities. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 11. Listen to what it says. Wherefore, remember that ye being time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make himself of twain one man, one new man, so making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, far off, nigh, you were Gentiles. Now you're the household of God. So your nationality has nothing to do with it. Don't throw that out there and say, well, I'm from this group, that. Nope. Nope. You realize now that there are Korean missionaries that have landed in the United States of America to bring the gospel to America? Praise God. They realize the Bible is for them. And the world is their mission. So there is no nationality disqualification. Well, how about this, Pastor? How about my gender? Go to Galatians chapter 3. I am a female, therefore I don't have to witness. I am a male, therefore I don't have to witness. Galatians chapter 3. That's a good one too. I'll tell you what these are. They are not disqualifiers. They are excuses. Galatians 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither, what is that? Oh, male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, I got you, preacher. My nationality doesn't help me to get out of visitation. My nationality, my gender don't help me get out of witnessing. Surely training and education. Galatians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Why do you keep doing this? Isn't it amazing what Scripture does away with? I don't want you to have excuses. I want you to have the power of God upon you so that you can be a witness, because this world needs Jesus. If you haven't figured it out, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that is in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When you have the power of God, the Holy Spirit living in you, that's all the education you need. It's the Spirit of God, His book, you study. Allow Him to use you where you at. Reach people who you're around. And you allow Him to bring in the open door of opportunity into your life. And you share the Lord Jesus Christ with whom you are. Your training, your education. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to no Bible college. If you have and you've done that, praise God for it. But you don't have to do that to be a witness. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to a Bible college to be saved? Praise God for it. Thank God, there's some good Bible colleges out there, but I'm glad I didn't have to depend upon a Bible college, because them things closing left and right, making bad decisions. They change one dean to the next, and before you know it, they remove one portion of faith, and this one believes this, believe that one, and before they just tear Christianity apart. I'm thankful that I just have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Well, preacher, I'm not high up on the social status. On my Facebook page, I only have 100 friends. It don't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Your social standing does not exempt you from being a witness for the Lord. Look what it says here, 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not mighty men, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Doesn't matter where you stand socially. Well, Pastor, I'm in a spot that I am known all over the county. And if I start talking about Jesus, I'm gonna mess things up for me. You deny Him, and dear friend, He will deny you. Your social status doesn't get you out of witnessing. No, not at all. Well, I've got a trump card in my pocket, preacher. What's that? The whole county knows how bad a sinner I was. And surely my past sins would disqualify me from being a witness for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's another one of them verses that just throws a monkey wrench into our philosophy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. We got to quit living by our philosophy and live by the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Boy, Purdue wouldn't like that word, would they? In case y'all didn't realize it, Purdue University says you can't use the word man no more. Mankind. Woman. You're just a person. Verse 10. Anyway, let's move on. We're talking about past sins. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers. How do you say that word? Revelers. Revilers. There you go. Nor extortioners. Praise God. You don't have to be a champion of the English language either. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. After that the Holy Ghost come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. No disqualifiers in God's word. Matter of fact, he says we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I wonder, Brother Jim, if that all thing would include witnessing. I think it would, because the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No disqualifiers. None at all. Listen, Christ's focus on helping ordinary people. Go through the scriptures. Just ordinary people. Everybody dealt with just ordinary. There wasn't no super, super extraordinary people that he dealt with on a daily basis. Matter of fact, those super extraordinary people would come to him by night, didn't they? Nicodemus? He didn't turn him away, did he? No, Nicodemus was part of the crowd that took him and buried him, didn't he? He dealt with them just the same. We got to get to the point. We got to understand something. We need to reject this here idea that I am not qualified, I'm not able, I don't have the ability, I am not the right gender, I have the wrong training, I am the wrong nationality. No, if you are God's child, dear friend, you can tell people about what God has done for you. Be faithful. Be faithful. That is what we're about. You know, the Bible says that he's given us a commission to do so. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Go to all the world. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter. All the way back there in the back behind Hebrews. 4, 1, 2, 3 John. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to what it says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, that be ready, what? Always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. No disqualifications. Matter of fact, it's kind of like this. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. When we got saved, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's like a package deal. Well, what do you mean? Because the Holy Spirit of God is the great witness. He would teach us all things concerning Jesus. He lives within inside of us. So as he lives within inside of us, he allows us the opportunity to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own. We cannot. You remember how you were before you got saved? How messed up your life was? How many of you ever got backslid a little bit on God all by yourself? God didn't lead you down that old road. It was all by yourself. You said, I'm just going to do my own thing again for a little while. Man, you got all messed up, didn't you? Isn't it a great thing to know that we have a God that loves us and brings us right back and sits our feet on the solid rock? Why do you think he does that for us? Why do you think when we're out there saying, Brother Ray, why do you think God don't just knock us in the head and kill us? And make an example of everybody that goes out there and gets in sin. Why does he just bang? Why? Because he wants you to be a trophy of grace. He wants to bring you right back, put you right back on that solid ground and say, he didn't do it by himself. She didn't do it by himself. There's no way that they could have done this by themselves. This is because I am God. He wants you to be a witness for him. We need to get to the point, dear friend, where we are biblically based and biblically founded and doctrinally sound because we love God and God loves us. You know, the Bible teaches us that the love of Christ constrains us. God wants us to be a witness for him. Listen, many times we just don't know what to say to people. I've been there. We just don't know. What happened? I mean, many times the Holy Spirit says, hey, this is a good opportunity right now. Hey, it's a good opportunity. Matter of fact, the other night, we went to that basketball game. I tried to break the ice with that guy who was parking us. Man, he got mad. I don't know, did y'all see that when I was talking to him? He said, I want you to park over there. Follow him. Give me the money. Follow him. And I said, okay, I'll give you the money, but are you going to heaven? Just give me the money. I'm like, okay. Man, I'm serious. He's like, I better not say another word because he is not liking this at all. Sometimes we just don't know what they're going to say. We just don't. We get to think, well, wow, what am I going to do? But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't say the truth, there's a false witness out there that's going to tell them a lie. And they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. I challenge you, dear friend, if you would go through the scriptures and you would look at how many times in the New Testament alone that false doctrine was challenged by God's people. Here, I'll just read you. Let's just look at a few. We got 8 minutes before the bus got to get back on. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. The deceiver, the adversary, the devil has his witnesses everywhere. But unfortunately, dear friend, I'm telling you, sometimes he takes a child of God and flaunts them out there too. So you don't want to be saved. Look how that person's acting. You think he wouldn't do that? Sure he would. He can transform himself to an angel of light. You think he wouldn't use your bad testimony to discourage someone else that's troubled about their salvation? Oh yes, the devil will. Be happy to do it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Listen to what it says. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, verse 20, by their fruits ye shall know them. What's it talking about? False prophets. That's what it starts off with. Beware of false prophets. There's a challenge. We've got to be ready to give a hope, an answer of the hope which lies in us. Look in Acts chapter 20. Here's another example of some false teaching. Now, this is all the way back in New Testament times, and they were dealing with false doctrines way back then and false teachings way back then. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, Paul said, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What are they going to do? They're going to come in and sprinkle in that false doctrine. That's why God teaches us as the under-shepherd that we're to watch over the flock and make sure who's teaching your Sunday school classes are sound in their doctrine. Because they come creeping in like sheep, like wolves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Preacher, why are you telling this? Because everybody you meet nowadays, what do they tell you? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Better test that doctrine. Better test it. Better talk to them. Better ask them some questions. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to what? The doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now you know why I tell you all the time, be careful about them TV television evangelists you watch. Amen. That doctrine. Oh, but preacher, they know how to speak so smooth. And they wouldn't have dared ask their congregation how to pronounce that word because they know how to pronounce it. leading a whole bunch of folks to hell too. I'd rather a preacher that asked me how to pronounce something and tell me about Jesus true and straight than somebody that can tickle my ear and lead me to hell. Yeah. Well, Galatians, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. This is what Paul says about angels. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, then that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed.